Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes it's just important for us to read God's Word and find inspiration from it. So today we're going to go through our gospel reading carefully, verse by verse, to understand what Jesus did and what we can learn from him about healing, both physical healing and spiritual healing. Both of these are important parts of Jesus' ministry, and we see both of them in our reading today from Mark chapter 1. But first, we should look at what Jesus had been doing before now in his early ministry. For all, Mark 1 verse 29 begins with, "Immediately Jesus left the synagogue." Why was he at the synagogue? So, for context, at this point, Jesus' ministry had barely just begun. Before our ministry, John had been preaching in the Jordan, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus came to John to be baptized. And then from there, the Holy Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days. Then, on his return, Jesus begins to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And he also calls his first disciples, Peter and Andrew, and James and John. Now, at this point, people are finally starting to learn more about this funny Galilean miracle worker and rabbi and teacher, and so people are starting to come to him. Jesus is in Capernaum, which is a city along the Sea of Galilee, and he goes into the synagogue at Capernaum, and while there, he teaches the people, and they are astonished by his words. It says in verse 22, "He taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes." And so while Jesus is teaching, a man stands up in the middle of the synagogue and screams, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Now, to picture that, imagine someone standing up right now and screaming at me. That's what was happening. It's interesting that in Mark's gospel, the only ones who call Jesus God, at least before the crucifixion, are demons like this one. No human being calls Jesus the Son of God or God until the centurion at the foot of the cross in Mark's gospel. The demons, however, know the truth, even though they do not believe. The demons know that Jesus is the Son of God, that he has power over them, and they fear it. And so Jesus rebukes the man, he casts out the demon, as a powerful demonstration of his might and authority, demonstrating by his action the truth of his words. When the crowd hears about this and they flock to him at the synagogue, Jesus retires to Peter's house, and this is where our gospel reading picks up. "Immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her." Now before we miss this in the text, yes, Peter actually is married. Marriage is good. And so servants of the church, in fact, can and are free to marry. Paul acknowledges this in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 5, before our epistle reading, when he says, "Do we not have the right to take along a believing wife, as do the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas?" So Peter is married. His mother-in-law is living with them. And it sounds like Andrew also is living there as well. And so his mother-in-law is sick, lay ill with a fever. They told him about her. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. She was sick, but Jesus healed her. And presumably Peter was grateful for Jesus healing his mother-in-law. Now, her response to this healing is that she began to serve them. Service is a good response to God's blessings. And so after that evening, verse 32, at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. It's not like Jesus could really go anywhere unquietly. Even this early in his ministry, people find out where he is and they flock to him. After he cast out that demon in the synagogue, I expect that there were a lot of people who were looking for him for healing, whether it be physical healing, whether it be casting out a demon, whatever. And so Jesus looks outside and he sees the whole city waiting for his help, and so he begins to heal them. Jesus' compassion truly was limitless. He would see people and want to heal them. I can imagine that Jesus was at this for a long time that night, and it's interesting that he doesn't actually allow the demons to speak at all, because the demons know who he is and they fear him, and he does not want them to tell people that he is truly God. At this moment, Jesus isn't ready for that to be revealed. God's plan is for Jesus to continue preaching and teaching for 3.5 years before the people finally crucify him, and for him to start off here before larger crowds come to him to hear who he is. Everything happens at the right time in God's plan. God knows what's going to happen. And so in verse 35, rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. In the morning, when he's exhausted after helping people for the whole night, he sought peace, but he did not seek it in sleep. Instead, he seeks prayer. Jesus needed refreshment, and he needed to be recharged, things that can only come from God, and he finds this through prayer. It is important for us also to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy in prayer, in devotion, in worshiping God, coming together to receive the strength that can only be found in God. And so he goes off into the wilderness to pray. And in verse 35, Simon and those who were with him searched for him. They found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. I imagine that when Peter found Jesus, he was expecting him to return to all of the people in Capernaum that he had been helping. But instead, no, Jesus said it was time to move on. He didn't come to just focus on Capernaum. He didn't just come to heal these people physically, though he did heal them, he came to teach, to preach, and share the good news with people. And his ministry was for more than just these people here. It was for all people. He instead would travel throughout all of Galilee, all of Judea, teaching and healing. Healing to help those in need and to confirm the message, but even more importantly, teaching to bring to people the message at the heart of his ministry: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So then, what does this mean for us? Well, first, it means that healing only comes from Jesus. We have our medical professionals who work to cure diseases and improve quality of life. Their work is good and important, and it is indeed God-pleasing. And we can and should make use of the medical resources that God has provided for us through doctors, nurses, researchers. All of these are really gifts from God. However, medicine can only keep us alive. The true healing only comes from God. That's not just physical healing, but it's healing for both body and soul. God provides for both. And as Lutherans, we have a tendency to ignore the spiritual aspects of daily life. Remember, all of life is in God's hands, and none of life is too trivial for him to be concerned about. We can bring all things to him, and he cares for all things. God's forgiveness is important, and it is there for us, but there's also a reason that Jesus performs so many healing miracles, and one of those is because he also wants to provide for our physical well-being, not just the spiritual. The second thing is that, like Jesus, we need to be strengthened and encouraged through regular devotion and prayer. When you're tired, when you're worn down, sometimes that means you need to rethink your devotional life to gain the refreshment and strength and healing that comes from God. The most important way we can rest and refresh ourselves is by being in Christ, being in his word, being in worship, being in prayer connected to him. And finally, the blessings of God are not just for a few, but they are for everyone. Jesus didn't just come for those in one area. He came for all people, the whole world. The blessings he gives us in the church also are for us, but also for all people, not just for those who are on the inside. In fact, as God's people, we can serve those who are near or far, all people we can serve on his behalf, whether that be through preaching or through care. Remember, the mercy work of the church so often is connected to the teaching, providing for people physically in order to also provide for them spiritually. Now, during the last year, healing has been on everyone's mind. We've been searching for healing everywhere, whether it be medicine, quarantine, online support, even homeopathic remedies with questionable track records. The medical advances that have helped people to recover in the last year are a good gift and blessing from God. Low mortality is certainly something for which to thank God. And that we have vaccines and cures is something to praise God for. However, we cannot let ourselves lose sight of what is really important by focusing on the healing. Healing is certainly important, but the preaching, the message of the gospel, is even more important. Physical health is something to be concerned about and to maintain, but the spiritual health which we receive through God's word, through worship and prayer, is also important for us. And in no other way does God provide us with greater healing than through the medicine of eternal life with which he feeds us in his Son's true body and blood, which we receive in just a few minutes. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord unto life everlasting. Amen.